To you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This morning we focus our attention on our gospel reading from John chapter 4, where we hear Jesus lovingly interacting with the woman at the well. You may be seated. And my prayer for each of us today is that we would all be exceedingly comforted by the words that the disciple John conveys to us about the nature of Jesus and his love and his care for all people, even those who don't yet know him. We live in a world where there are a whole lot of burdens that we carry around with us. There are obstacles that we face. These burdens and obstacles are often amplified by the world around us and by those who don't believe in Jesus. Struggle and hardship often surround us. War and strife are a common experience in our world today. There's so much that we could very easily be in fear of. And yet, we're gathered here together in God's house to receive the gifts that He desires for us to have. We hear His word, we receive His forgiveness. Even as the world around us gives us an understanding that there is so much for us to fear. And yet we know that we have a God who says to us, "Fear not, for I am with you." Just as the woman at the well received the blessings that she could not have possibly imagined that she would receive on that day, as she went out to draw water to go about her ordinary business, we here in this place receive immeasurable blessings as we gather in the name of the one who provides all relief, who provides all comfort, and who provides all blessings for us. The one who gives us comfort in the midst of the uncomfortable. The one who is the source of all of the life-giving blessings that we receive. And when we're looking for his blessings, what better place to find them than here in his house? And so today we lean on the source of all blessings. In the midst of any uncertainty that we might face, and we explore how God's word leads us to the understanding that the source is seeking us out, just as he sought out and found that woman at the well. If you want to gather water, the first thing that you have to do is you have to find the source of that water. And for us, that's fairly easy because most times we can just go to the faucet or the garden hose or the water cooler. Bubbler? Is that a thing? Or perhaps you grew up on the farm or out in the country where you had a well that you drew your water from. I can certainly recall as a young boy visiting my uncle up in New Hampshire as he was building his house on acreage that he had at the foothills of the White Mountains, the same area where I climbed the back of Mount Washington, if you recall that. We camp outside on that land for about a week at a time as my father would help my uncle build the house. And during that time, my brothers and I were probably not all that much help, and so we'd go and we'd explore the woods, and we certainly never failed to find something to keep ourselves occupied while we were there. But one of my most vivid memories of those times was the well pump that was about 50 yards from the house, and before there was installed an electric pump that pumped the water into the house, water was retrieved by going out and priming the pump, and then gathering water in a bucket to use for washing or drinking or whatever it was that we might need. And that pump served our purposes as kids too, because as we were out there in the woods on a long hot day, we'd come back and we'd simply cup our hands and catch as much water as we possibly could from that pump and splash it on our faces, and then we'd drink it right out of our hands. It's certainly not the most efficient way to gather water though, is it? But open hands is an incredible posture for us to have when something's being offered to us. It demonstrates a desire to receive the thing that's being given, and a willingness to grab a hold of what is now yours. And it's that posture that I envision that Samaritan woman at the well having as Jesus reveals to her who he is and what it is that he has to offer to her. But not just to her. What it is that he has to offer to the whole world. But having open hands to the gifts that Christ offers us does require that we would turn away from whatever it is that closes us off to him, and for us to turn toward the giver of all these good gifts. And in doing so, we're continually reminded that Christ desires to bless us all with life-giving water. And he also desires that we would have open hands, ready to receive the gifts that he gives to us. As we focus this morning on John's Gospel and the account of Jesus' interaction with that Samaritan woman, we pray that it would be an example to us of the desire that we should have for God's gifts, as well as God's overwhelming desire to give those gifts to us. Because we are so much like that Samaritan woman who said, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And God is the one who says to us through his Son, "Whoever drinks of this water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." As much as the Samaritan woman is probably not the one who we would choose to be compared to, her account does mirror the life that we're all living. We, like that Samaritan woman, often find God's blessings in the most unexpected of places. We've all had times when we go about our lives with the Lord being the furthest thing from our minds. And then, as we go about that walk, we experience a blessing that we couldn't have expected. Maybe it was a pleasant interaction with somebody that renewed our faith in the kindness of our neighbor. Or maybe it was an unexpected commendation or raise at work. Maybe it was an answer to a prayer that was long ago prayed and then forgotten about. Whatever it may have been, these unexpected blessings are certainly a pleasant surprise to us. But even so, they pale in comparison to the unexpected blessing that that Samaritan woman received as she met with Jesus at the well. As is the case with so many of Jesus' interactions that are recorded for us, there's a sense that this interaction may have happened by chance. And yet, Jesus' discourse with this woman was anything but unexpected to Jesus. He knew that it was coming. That entire encounter was so perfectly laid out that it not only led to an understanding for that woman of who Jesus is, but it also provides for us, the entire church, who that woman represents, an understanding of the magnitude that Christ desires to give to his people. With four simple words, "Give me a drink," Jesus breaks down that barrier between Jew and Gentile and makes his gifts accessible to those outside the Jewish faith. St. Augustine says this about Jesus' interaction with the woman. He says, "His drink was not to do the will of him, or was to do the will of him that sent him. That was why he said, 'I thirst, give me a drink,' namely to work faith in her and to drink of her faith and transplant her into his own body, for his body is the church." In this request for a drink, Jesus not only opens the door to a conversation with this woman, but he also begins the process of helping her to understand that she is accepted by him. She certainly couldn't have expected that, as she went about the normal course of her everyday life. She was just doing her duty by going out and drawing the water to bring it back. And in the midst of all of that ordinary, she experienced a life-changing encounter with the Lord. In the same way, our posture needs to be one of open hands, ready to receive whatever blessing the Lord desires to provide for it, even and especially when those times are so unexpected. We have a Savior who is able to provide for us the living water, regardless of whether he has any vessel with which to draw it out of a well, because the living water doesn't come from any source that's down in the ground. It comes from Jesus himself. Throughout their interaction, Jesus moves this woman closer to an understanding of who he is and the water that only he is able to supply. And he does it in the same way that a masterful storyteller moves the reader from the beginning of the story, where they're oblivious of the ending, to the full revelation of the entirety of the plot of the story. A major part of Jesus' revelation here is the fact that he's aware of everything in this woman's past. Once she's then been convinced of her need for that living water that only he can provide to her, Jesus tells her, "Go get your husband," knowing full well that she's had five husbands and that the man that she's now with is not her husband. But Jesus doesn't do this to shame her or guilt her about her past. He does it to reinforce the reality that the sin that she has committed doesn't disqualify her from receiving the blessings that Jesus wants to offer to her. We too, like that Samaritan, have a past. Your sins might not be the same as this woman's. Maybe you're not currently living with a man who's not your husband, but are you breaking the sixth commandment in another way? Are you bearing false witness against your neighbor? Are you putting anything in your life above God himself? Each one of us has a past in which all of these sins and more have been committed. But like that woman, our past does not prevent us from receiving Christ's blessings. As you hear and as you heed God's law, know that he is calling out to you in the very same way that he did for this woman. Not to shame you, but to remind you of what he expects of those who have received the living water that he provides. And as a reminder that regardless of what ways you've fallen short of his expectations, his love is so great for all of us, especially as we receive with open hands the free gift of forgiveness that he offers to us all. This morning, Frida received that gift of forgiveness through the living waters of holy baptism. And my prayer for her is that throughout her life she would continue to come with open hands, desiring and expecting the same forgiveness from God. That's my prayer for you as well, because we, like that Samaritan woman, desire and so desperately need the living water that Christ freely gives. If we were asked what we desire, we could probably articulate the fact that we all desperately need and therefore fervently desire the salvation, the living water provided for us by Christ through his sacrifice on the cross. But even though we understand that and we acknowledge that, do we go about our daily lives living as though we need that living water? More likely, like that Samaritan woman, we go about our daily lives simply doing the work that we're called to do, the hard work of life, like this woman whose trip to the well was no time of rest or relaxation for her. It was work. It was hard work, made even harder by all of the burdens that she was carrying with her. We each are also carrying burdens. Burdens we're aware of, but also burdens that have been buried so deep down that we might not even fully comprehend them. And it's in this state that Christ approaches us with the very same offer that he gave to that woman at the well. An offer to unburden us, to take from us everything that's weighing us down. When we realize who it is that's speaking to us, and when he makes himself known to us by saying, like he said to that woman, "I who speak to you am he," it's then that we can turn away from all of those burdens, recognizing who is right in front of us and who desires for us to cast our burdens on him. And then once we've done so, we can receive with open arms the forgiveness and the salvation that's been offered to us. When we cast our burdens, our sins, all of our cares on him, he takes them and then he exchanges them for living water. The living water which then becomes in us a spring of water welling up to eternal life. So as we live in this day where our burdens and our cares can often be overwhelming to us, we're reminded that none of those burdens are too much to cast on the Lord. Care and caution are certainly important for all of us, but having fear about all that the world throws at us is really for those who don't trust that our dear Lord holds us in the palm of his gracious hands, providing for us comfort and peace in whatever trials we're asked to endure. We began this morning by talking about the different sources of where we might be able to find water. In seeking out that precious resource and coming with the correct means to gather it, we can provide for ourselves the hydration that's necessary for this earthly body. But we have no means ourselves to provide for the living water, which is hydration for our souls. Only God himself, who needs nothing with which to draw that water, is able to provide it for us. May we, like the woman at the well, turn away from our past and with open hands receive the blessings that Christ has offered to us through his selfless sacrifice. And thanks be to God that he has and he will continue to provide for us all that we need for this world and for the next. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.